Hi, David and Joel. It's Maya here, aka the Ghetto Superstar, and I'm stopping through to send love your way, but also wish you a big congratulations on your 40th episode of Right Back At Ya. Cheers to many more ahead. Happy official 40th anniversary. Hope to see you guys in London at the Metro Fest on August 8th. Much love to everyone listening, and congratulations to my boys from your girl, Maya. How you gonna act?
Hey David and Joel, it's Tina Barrett here from S Club 7, wishing you both an amazing 40th episode of Right Back At Ya.
You are listening to Right Back At Ya, the 2000s pop music podcast hosted by David Lim and myself, Joel Babington. Each episode, we have lots of fun taking 2000s pop music very seriously. This is part two of our 40th episode mailbag special. If you missed part one, go and listen now. But hopefully you're in the right place, so strap in and let's jump straight back into it.
Hi, Right Back At Your podcast. It's Bryn Christopher here, a very good friend of yours and a massive fan of your podcast. My question would be, if you could have written just the one song of ever, like of all of the songs, what would it be?
Okay, well, thank you, Bryn. Actual friend and actual legitimately very successful songwriter, so very honoured to have you write in. I don't want to blow it with my answer and say something that would appear silly but wouldn't be silly. And like we say it sometimes, it's like, God, you imagine if this was the song you wrote, wouldn't you be like,
this is it? I think it's very tempting to like maybe pick a big hit single to say, oh, I wish I wrote that. But actually, when I think of list of songs that I wish I had written, they sometimes aren't big hit singles. I think a song I wish I had written, if I was a pop star, would be Jessica Mauboy's Never Be the Same Again, because I think that really resonates with my story, especially of having left home to pursue my new life and my new dreams or whatever. So I would say that, but also JoJo's Coming For You, that album track.
So you've gone really like...
Mid-tempo-y. Ballady.
Obviously, I wish I'd written Kimberly's top hit single, like you like. To be honest, like the things that immediately... So I'm going to just say what the things that immediately come to my mind are... Precious's Rewind.
Bop.
Bardot's I Need Somebody, Your Impact, and Hearsay's Pure and Simple.
Wow.
And obviously, like I'll give this as my answer, and yes, it's obvious and whatnot and blah, 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 but Sound of the Underground. Imagine writing that.
Wow. Genius.
Maybe if and when you come on and have a chat with us, we might have a different answer by then.
Come on and do a writing session with us, Bryn.
All right. So next up, we have an audio note, David, from our friend Fraser at the Your Welcome America podcast. Let's give it a listen.
Hi, guys. It's Fraser from Your Welcome America. I had a question for you. I wanted to know which version of the song A Little Bit you think is superior, the Jessica Simpson version or the Rosie Ribbons version. I personally veer towards the Rosie Ribbons version, even though Jessica was such a big hit. I'd love to know your thoughts, your feelings. All right, love you guys. Bye.
Thank you so much, Fraser. Now, look, I don't want to end up in a sticky situation, so I'm going to give you my every indication. Jessica all day, every day for the JB.
I will just say this is a fantastic question because I remember listening to Jessica's version of this at some point, probably when I was living with you, Joel. but I didn't know Rosie Ribbons had recorded it as well. So brand new information as of about an hour ago, I hit play on Rosie's version. Dare I say, even though I love Jessica's production of her version, Rosie's vocal performance is a killer. Bitch killed it, okay? We gotta give Rosie that. A little bit goes a long, long way. A little bit, a little bit, a little bit goes a long way. A little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. She performed the hell out of it.
Yeah, but as does Jess. A little bit goes a long way. A little more time. A little less spray. A little more time. A little less spray. Simple and true.
What they say. A little bit goes a long, long way. I prefer Rosie's vocal performance. I will just say that.
Well, we've got one each. Oh, yeah. So I remember vividly, I was in a shopping centre once as a teenager, but it would have been a few years after this was released, but I was like full on obsessed with Jessica, and they were playing the Rosie Ribbons version in like Zara or somewhere.
And you were like, nah.
And I turned to my friend and I was like, who is this? And they were like, I think it's Rosie Ribbons. And I was like,
hell to the no. I want to speak to the manager.
I couldn't believe it. How dare you play this? So look, I'm a Jessica stan. It was Jessica's song first. I'm going to say Jessica. But Rosie's album was never released. And those pop gods at Pop Music Activism got the album on streaming. And there, that album slaps. There are some real like peak noughties bops on there. So I'm going to give Rosie her due. And Rosie was the support act on a lot of live shows I saw back in the day. She's a performer. She does slap, but my loyalty is with Jessica, and I'm going to have to say that's the better song.
Well, there you go. We knew the writing was on the wall, and he just read it out for us there, the JB. Thank you very much to your welcome, America.
Thank you so much, guys. All right, let's get into our next message we've got from Stephanie. Now, Stephanie has said, hi, JB and Dave. Hi, Stephanie.
Oh, yeah, you know, this is probably someone who knows me from my life down under, thus down under Dave.
Previously on Down Under Dave. She's written, congrats on a fantastic show and for keeping the audience thoroughly entertained. You might be aware of the recent death of Michael Gudinski in Australia and how pivotal he was for Ms. Kylie's career.
Yes.
His funeral was an amazing musical tribute you may want to touch on. Also, a small mention in regards to the babedom that Bruno Mars was a co-writer of Get Sexy by Sugar Babes.
Oh, that was going to be part of our next episode.
It was one of his first big international songwriting gigs. More one-on-one interviews with pop stars, please.
Yes.
Because your research is top-notch. And when is Belinda's book out? Many thanks, Stephanie. So, I mean, to answer the end questions, look, we'd love to have more pop stars on. It's kind of more when we're approached, we happily have them on. So tell your favourite pop stars that they need to come on Right Back At Ya. We are not sure when Belinda's book is out, but we are gagging to read it. So
we're checking in.
We're checking in, and Belinda, hopefully you're listening to this. We can't wait to read your book. And yes, Michael Gudinski is an Australian legend. And we all saw on social media how much he did touch people's lives. And then how huge an event, you know, what a tribute, what a huge tribute that funeral was. And yes, spoiler alert, Sugar Babes Part 3, we will be talking about Get Sexy.
Get Sexy. Get Sexy right now. So next we have an email from Glenn. Hi boys, my question for y'all is about fan loyalty. Do you love a group even through lineup changes? I'm thinking of Sugar Babes 4.0, S Club 3, and so on. Love you boys. Keep the podcast going. Cheers, Glenn.
I would say more as I'm older, to be honest. I am really loyal. I was, as a kid, really loyal to an extent, but it also, the internet wasn't what it was. and sometimes bands drop off the radar. So like how I was really loyal with Hearsay, but to be honest, I don't even have recollection of Loving Is Easy being released. It was only as an adult that I love that.
Which is now my favourite Hearsay song.
Yeah. Which is now David's favourite Hearsay song. And again, same with Sugar Babes 4.0. I will be honest, I didn't love them at the time. I have a lot of love for Sugar Babes 4.0 now. So maybe my loyalty, either they dropped off and I wasn't aware, or maybe it did dither, but it's to an extent. I'm with them, like, I was dedicated to the Spice Girls when Jerry left, dedicated to S Club when Paul left.
And you like Steps. Well, you know, Steps didn't have a lineup change, but you still love them now in their current formations.
Yeah, so loyal in longevity and also bands that aren't together now, love. Yeah. But yeah, to be honest, actually, I wasn't on board with H and Claire at all as a kid. But I actually, again, appreciate that more now. Like, that album slaps.
Yeah. For me, theoretically, yes, I am loyal through the different lineup changes, but also it very much depends on the music and the output. You know, what I judge it on is, are you giving us a good era? That's really it. You know, I can work with any number of bands. I can work with any number of band members that's within there, as long as the era is solid, the music is good, and you're selling me this current lineup in the best possible way you can. You know, I don't want to feel like something's lacking, something's missing. You need to convince me that this is it, this is working, this is now, this is for the best. And do you know what? Even though Jerry left the Spice Girls, I love the Forever album, so... I take that on board. We look at how Take That have fared with various different members in the band, and they've always just kept it going, kept it moving. Pussycat Dolls, circa React without Melody, they kept it going. We're buying what they're selling. So on the whole, generally, yes.
I think now as adults, we appreciate it so much more.
Yeah.
Because as pop fans, we just want to go and see our faves. So we take it with both hands, and the Right Back At You boys, long answer short, are loyal.
Yes.
Thank you, Glenn. All right, next up we have the lovely Dan, who has sent us in an audio note. Let's give it a listen.
Hi, you guys. I am loving the podcast. It is amazing. I've got a question for you. My favorite episode was the Soap Star to Pop Hands episode. I think I've listened to it at least 3 times. It is brilliant. So good work. Out of today's crop... out of today's amazing lot of soap stars in the UK, who do you think, or who would you like to turn from soap star to pop star? And also, I'm loving the impressions. Keep them up, Joel. You poor cow.
Thank you, Dan. That is a great question. And as for you, you poor cow.
I have to say, I really do love hearing from everyone. It's so fun to hear different voices on here with us.
It's really wonderful because, you know, this is just us basically in our bedrooms chatting to each other. So it's really wonderful to hear who we're reaching. And it's really special and really wonderful. Thank you so much, Dan. That is a great question. Look, I'll be honest, I don't watch soaps as much as I would like now, and I'm not as caught up in the zeitgeist. But a girl from my class at school, Daisy, was a star of Hollyoaks for years until very recently. And she has an amazing voice. She starred in a lot of musical theatre, done a lot of shows. She has an incredible voice, Daisy Wood Davis. I know she starred in the Carole King musical.
Oh, okay.
So she has an incredible voice. Someone give Daisy a record deal.
Okay, well, that's an industry deep recommendation there. I personally would like to see Kelly from Eternal have a comeback. I know she's very much part of the conversation right now on EastEnders, right?
On Hollyoaks.
On Hollyoaks, sorry. Get my soaps confused.
God's sake, David, do you not remember anything I taught you?
We didn't do much Hollyoaks, did we, on our episode?
Just Will Miller, sexy.
Yes, sexy Will. Yeah, look, Kelly, if you want to make a comeback, we would be very happy to talk to you about that.
Higher Than Heaven 2021 remix.
Higher Than Heaven, as covered by our girls, Bardo, on their debut album. So talk about a crossover that only Right Back At You can connect.
Yeah, I would love Kelly to return to music because she does Hollyoaks now, appears on Loose Women. Like, she could release, like, a album that is a meeting of minds for both Tesco mums and the gays, like a shaking of hands.
I can see like a Motown covers album from Kelly, maybe, with a few originals in there that sound like off the time. Do you know what I mean?
Would love that. And do you know that when Louise left Eternal, basically they said to Kelly, you can leave and start a duo with Louise if you want, or you can stay in Eternal. And she was like, we've literally gone from the bottom up to Eternal. I can't go through all that again. I'm going to stay in Eternal. So imagine if Louise had left and they had formed a duo.
I don't think that would work. A duo traditionally haven't really worked, right?
I'm just giving you the what ifs, David.
I'm just saying keep it. Yeah.
But yeah, I also still think that the girl that played Candice on Coronation Street, who is now on Hollyoaks, still gives us major pop girl vibes. And she's got a great voice.
Hollyoaks has all the pop stars, it seems. Come on, Hollyoaks Records. Let's get it happening. Okay, next email is from Zomi. Dear David and Joel, first of all, I'm loving the podcast. First question, why is Joel's handle Dr. Joel? Are you a doctor in any way? Is there a backstory? And my second question, one major trend that emerged during the noughties era was the throwback songstress, started by a certain Miss Amy Jade Winehouse. In my opinion, Amy paved the way for artists like Adele and Duffy to come through. Yes, you're right.
Absolutely.
I would love for you to chat a bit about the throwback 60s pop trend, see also Girls Aloud's The Promise, and your thoughts on Amy and her impact on the noughties. Keep up the good work. Zomi.
Great question. Brilliant question. The thing about Amy is, like, her talent is phenomenal. Once in a lifetime talent.
Yeah.
And her impact is through the roof. And her legacy and... It's double-edged sword. Like, there's not much more to say about it than that, but there's also a lot more to say about it than that.
I mean, Fuck Me Pumps by Amy Winehouse is hilarious and also brilliant. It's one of those songs that is, like, social commentary, but it's also, like, so British. So I love that about her. Obviously, the Beehive era Amy was a whole other level. They managed to package her up as this pop star with a certain aesthetic and sold it as that, circa Rehab and onwards. But yeah, you know what? The 60s is a prevalent influence. And yes, we see it with The Promise for Girls Aloud, but also Emma Bunton's Free Me era had notes of the 60s as well. And she came back to that for her Life in Mono album. I think as years go by, maybe we're not going to see as many pop stars touch on the 60s anymore. Maybe that feels a little too passé.
We're in trends and it always comes around. We've had the disco resurgence so many times. We've currently got it. We'll have 60s again. Like, and also, even if it's not a trend, people do it. Look at the Spice Girls with Stop. You know, if someone wants to do it, they will do it.
Speaking of the kind of 60s and Motown-y touches, Charlotte Church, hello. But I love it when you call my name. I love it when you call my name.
Look, Amy Winehouse, guest spot on Mutia Buena's debut album with B-Boy, which is a sample of Be My Baby. Wow.
B-Boy Baby is stunning. That is fantastic.
So, you know, that is a take on a Motown song. But yeah, Amy's impact is timeless.
Yeah, agreed. Next one is by our boy Cliff.
Our boy Cliff. Hello, Cliff.
I love this subject heading. The letter 18's mix. That's a reference. Oh, hi, darling Hans, David and Joel, who convinced me I need to contribute to the mailbag episode. We didn't twist anybody's arms, don't worry. As you know, I'm a massive fan from day one, but have you thought about going full-on club disco Hans, as in a reference to my very popular playlist on Spotify? And launching your own club night. There's defo a gap in a market in London, fucking pandemic pending. I will not rest until you have your own slot at Hoopla. Listen, some people listening to this podcast might be on Team Mighty Hoopla. I know you guys are there. We are here.
We are ready and waiting.
Let's make something happen. We will go to Butlins if you cover our accommodation and travel expenses.
I literally had to explain to David what Butlins is, didn't I, the other day? First of all, that's an honour coming from you, Cliff. Cliff is a DJ. He runs his own club nights in Glasgow, Obsession. And also, Cliff, just want to say I've DM'd you this. Love your interiors. Your flat looks bloody gorgeous where you and your boyfriend live.
Troy Sivan is choking on that Architecture Digest takeover. Should go to Cliff's home.
Absolutely stunning. I want your Buy Girls, Buy Boys t-shirt, the Girls Aloud tagline. That's very kind of you to say there's a gap in the market. There isn't. You know, we love pop. Push the button. There are so many. The stuff that was going on at the Chateau, I can't wait to see what those guys do post-pandemic because I know they're changing location. We're here. Cliff, I have a question for you. Can me and David get our way to Scotland and can you teach us a thing or two about DJing? Maybe we can have a guest slot at Obsession. Okay, the cards are turned on you. Want to learn from the best? And we'll appear at your club night. But look, never say never. And look, Hoopla, we would love to. In the meantime, there's so many amazing pop club nights that we can't wait to get back to. I hope, David, that Push the Button do a Kylie Minogue night after all this.
Pretty sure they will, and they have, and it's always there's always time for a Kylie night.
Amazing, Cliff. Thank you so much for sending that message.
Next up, we have Brooke/Lucas in our inbox. Honestly, wouldn't know how I'd have coped through lockdown without Right Back Catcher. I have also never met someone whose music tastes align so closely to mine as Joel. Favorite episodes are Miss Rachel Stevens and the S Club two-parter. Forever grateful to you guys for introducing me to icons Bardo and Scandalous.
You are welcome.
Every episode, I'm discovering so much knowledge and tracks, all while I'm feeling like I'm sat there talking to friends about these noughties gems. Right Back At Ya does Butlins needs to happen. Wow. How funny is that?
It's like you read our last email.
Oh my God. Yes. Thank you, baby XO. I'll be forever yours. Love always, Mandy, aka Brooke Lucas. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So look, Lucas is an amazing makeup artist that does drag under the name Brooke. They are a legend. We follow them on social media. They are a sweetheart. Look, Hoopla, Right Back At Ya, Butlins, maybe it could happen. Brooke, I have a question for you. I need you to slide into my DMs and give me some natural, non-harsh makeup suggestions. Occasionally, very, very rarely and occasionally, the JB has to do some on-camera stuff. When you're working in production, sometimes you have to appear on camera. And I want to know what is some more natural-looking, camera-friendly, but that's not going to be too harsh on my sensitive skin, makeup options.
Oh, wow.
Thank you,
baby. Look out for
that
tutorial.
Yes, that's the collab. You could do my makeup, Brooke, and that would be fantastic. It's an honour to hear that we have Sim, I mean, look, I know we chat online, but it's an honour to hear that we have similar music tastes and just that we can all sit in and enjoy that all together. It's lots of fun. So thank you, baby.
Next, we have a voice note from Joshua Simon from SG Boys podcast all the way from Singapore. Jolie, if you want to hit play on this.
Lovely, Joshua. I'm hitting play.
Hey, David and Joel, it's Joshua Simon here, sending you lots of love all the way from Singapore. I host the SG Boys podcast, an LGBTQ+ themed podcast recorded here in Singapore, where unfortunately being gay is illegal. They criminalize sex between men, but that's another chat for another time. I have a question, of course, because I'm a big fan of your podcast. It makes me smile. I listen to it in the morning when I take the train, on the bus as well, when I go to the gym. It's got to be a Spice Girls related question, right? And I want to know from you, if you could rewrite history and use the solo singles from the Spice Girls as part of, say, Forever or Spice World or a totally new album, would you do that? Would you rewrite history or would you keep the solo singles where they came from?
I'll give you an example. Like, I've always felt that Mel C's Never Be the Same Again would have fit perfectly in Forever, and that would have been such a cool fantasy, like the Spice Girls crossing over with TLC on a track. Jerry Halliwell's Look at Me, that would have been perfect on Spice World, following Too Much. Right, so would you rewrite history and take all those solo singles and put it together in a Spice Girls album, or do you feel like those songs are sort of integral to the individual girls' careers and it had to happen? Let me know.
Thank you so much, Joshua. That is a brilliant question. Also, just want to give a shout out to the SG Boys podcast. They had actual Melanie C on their podcast, David.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yes.
Now, I think that's an amazing point. Look, we both stan Forever. Like, you'll know from our Forever episode how much we love it. But that is a fantastic point. I think that would have been a perfect bit of light and shade of having Never Be the Same Again on Forever.
I immediately thought of Never Be the Same Again for Forever, as Joshua pointed out. But also, I didn't want to take that from Melanie C's solo discography. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was a big number one hit for her. So I'm going to let Melly keep that. And instead, I'm going to suggest we take the ultimate Hun's Night Out anthem, We're Not Gonna Sleep Tonight, from Emma Bunton's debut album, and chuck that on Forever. 'Cause we're on the town tonight, nothing can stop us. You can see it in our
eyes that we're not gonna sleep tonight. We're gonna get down tonight. Get the fringe out, get the sexy leathers out.
Each girl in their own little, like, room in the nightclub, you know,
yeah,
getting ready, or, like, pouring drinks or entertaining guests. Ugh. And they all strut to the center stage together from their respective rooms in the nightclub. And they strut to the center stage and then perform together.
Yeah. What's the Mystique song where it's high class, nice ass?
One Night Stand.
The One Night Stand music video. With the song We're Not Gonna Sleep Tonight.
By all four Spice Girls, yes.
But all four Spice Girls. It would have been a great third single from Forever. I'm not sure what the second would have been. Now, what I would like to think and put out there, and more what I'd like to hear from everyone, is I'm not going to change history. It was all meant to be in terms of the Spice Girls releases. But say there was a fourth album, a fourth Spice Girls album. You can pick two songs from each girl. So you got 10 songs, two tracks each. We're not going to do a whole track list here and now. But what are some select solo songs that you would put for a fourth Spice Girls solo album? Could definitely put Maybe on there. Would be a great Spice Girls song on a fourth album.
I think actually I'll Be There, the Motowny one from Emma Bunton's Free Me album. That single would suit in very well with the Spice Girls. Because, you know, they've had Stop before, which is a Motowny moment. I think I'll Be There slots in gently and nicely. But what I will say is there's a Jerry B-side called Very Slowly, which I think is either on the Lift Me Up single or Mi Chico Latino. It's a proper 90s R&B sultry moment that really feels like it could be a bonus track on the very first Spice Girls album. When the lights go down, I'll love you slowly, 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 slowly.
Slowly. There's also, there's that Victoria Beckham song, which was like pre the first album. Do you remember that we listened to, and it was very like Victoria does Eurovision?
Oh, yeah. Back to Life. Da, 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 da. Yeah. Cruise Ship.
That's also would be a great Spice Girls album. Say by the fourth album, they returned more to their roots.
Yeah.
And they were ready to spice everyone's
what
life.
What about Mel B's Music of the Night, Perdido?
Da-dee-do.
Just get some maracas up in there.
Love it. So we got that song and that song. They'd be amazing. Oh.
Campus Tits.
Love it.
Instant gay classic.
And then obviously we've got to get Emma's Hey You, Free Up Your Mind on there.
Oh, yeah.
So the fourth Spice Girls album is apparently very camp.
Very, very
camp. By the
camp.
Sounds of this.
Yeah.
So they've gone, they went too edgy at R&B and they've gone, do you know what? We just want to have a fun night out. We want to return back to our spicy roots. And you're going to see that with the fourth Spice Girls album. Jerry's back. We're having a good time. And we're doing a stadium tour worldwide. Love it.
Love it.
And then Joshua sent us a second question.
I have a second question, if you'll entertain that. Or you can use it for another episode another time. Still talking about the Spice Girls, but if you could take a song from another girl group, say Sugar Babes, the Pussycat Dolls, Bardo, Girls Aloud, the Saturdays, Fifth Harmony, if you could take a song away from that girl group and put it in the Spice Girls catalog, which song do you think would have been a perfect Spice Girl song?
Oh, this is a good question.
This is a great question. I would take... I would put a few things, but I would like to have seen Rewind from Precious on Forever.
Damn it, that was what I was going to say. Sorry. I was going to say that as well. Just what you mean to me. Words can describe. It's all in my heart. The more I try to live individually, something tells me, take it back in time. Take it back in time. Rewind. And actually, do you know what? Poison by Bardo would make for a very nice first album, Spice Girls, deep cut. Oh,
nice. Really nice.
Vicky B on lead vocals, as we said before. Yeah,
as we said before. You better stop, better run away. You better listen what I have to say. I'll keep you hanging on the line. With just one kiss, I will blow your mind. I would love to then put Won't Take It Lying Down from the Honeys on Forever.
Yeah, that could be cool.
That would be really cool. I'd also, believe it or not, if the Spice Girls had done more new music with the return of the Spice Girls, something like Sledgehammer from Fifth Harmony.
Ooh.
I love that song, believe it or not.
I love it too.
But imagine it with a reimagining that the Spice Girls, a song like that that feels kind of like, it feels like epic in an 80s kind of way without sounding
80s. Yeah.
In a noughties guise.
Right.
Dramatic, in-your-face, modern-day girl power.
I think it would sound too kiddish for the Spice Girls to do Sledgehammer, but yes. Interesting.
All right, let's read an email we've got from Kelly. She says, well, the subject is steps.
That's all you need to know.
That's all you need to know. Thanks, Kelly. No, she's put, Dear David and Joel, our kings of pop, could we pretty please have a Steps episode? I'm particularly interested in you going off on a tangent about Totally Scott Lee and the H and Claire days. Yes. Just wanted to thank you, open brackets, baby, close brackets, for keeping so many of us entertained and informed throughout lockdown. Let's all get wine wasted when this is over. Lots of love, Kelly. Thank you so much, Kelly. Now, look, I am trying to coin the term white wine wise.
Oh, that phase of your white wine sesh where you're like literally the Dalai Lama and Oprah all in one.
The Lauren Conrad.
Honestly, some of the advice I've given when I'm on the white wine, I'm like shook because I'm like, I need to listen to this and take my own advice.
I think I've been on the other end of it.
I think you have.
And I'm like, sometimes I'm like, how have you even got there? Like, this is not advice I've asked for. I'll take it. Lovely. Like, Joel, let me tell you.
That is white wine wisdom for you.
Okay, how did we get there? Thank you, David. Kelly, look, long answer short, yes.
We're going to do it.
We love Steps. We're going to do it. And
yeah, we are.
In the words of Sarah Harding, it is about time. And they are, like, soonish.
Very soonish, yeah. Next email is a really short one. It's from Faye. David, your playlists are everything. It's right back at your club night on the cards. Keep up the good work. Love, Faye.
Speak to Cliff.
Yeah, we're working on it, Faye. Thank you. Please come when we finally announce it. It would just be me hitting play on a Spotify playlist that I've pre-prepared.
No, it won't. We need to find if these people are London adjacent or whatever, because if we're going to be,
we'll come to wherever you are. Yeah. Yes.
Kitchen disco with the Right Back At You boys. All right. So we've got an email from Craig here who says, firstly, guys, thanks for the podcast. I remember finding it and catching up on old episodes while I was packing up to move house. 2 years later, it's still as fun to listen to each episode. Well, I thought I'd email you with a lovely memory I have in relation to good old 2000s pop. We had friends in the USA and used to stay with them every summer. I loved going back everywhere and popping into Best Buy and Walmart to see what CDs I could get.
You get special edition CDs as well in Walmart sometimes.
You do. And Target editions and etc, etc. So one year, my brother got the 18's Teen Spirit album. I loved this album. Rockin', Slamming wow. Kind of Love, That's What It's All About. The following summer, I found their Pop Till You Drop, so I was super happy. Until my brother came along and made me make a deal with him. He came up and told me he found an album that I really wanted and he would only give it to me if I gave him the 18's album.
I would have called mum in that instant and say, you need to step in. I'm not taking this.
Get in here.
Yeah. I want to speak to the manager of the home, mum.
He says, this was a tough decision. What album did he get his dirty little mittens on? Well, it happened to be the second album of a British girl band that had been cancelled in the UK. David, it was Cleopatra's Stepping Out.
Wow. Shooketh. The taste. You and your brother. The taste.
The taste. Well, needless to say, the exchange happened. But let's look at the positives. Our house got both amazing albums. So yeah, Craig, he says, thanks, Craig. Craig, I want to know, look, yes, you make this exchange with your brother, but surely you both still have access to it pretty much 24/7, right?
I don't know right. what kind of relationship they have. It could be a bit territorial, like, this is my side of the room.
Well, don't look, I'm going to be controversial. You've got the Teen Spirit album. So I would say that was a good exchange. Because if you've got Teen Spirit, I'd probably rather Stepping Out than the Pop Till You Drop album.
Wow. Can you imagine, like, the taste?
The taste of that house, Craig.
Album. Wow. I mean,
hats off to you and your brother.
Shout out to your family. I mean, wow. I wish I grew up with a brother with that kind of taste level. We might have competed a bit, but
yeah,
you know.
I think you're better off without. You don't want to be competing with Sean every other day.
No, he's too busy listening to like Mongolian throat singing yeah. now anyway.
So imagine if you next time you go home, Sean's like, I've got this rare pressing of Sophie Monk's album. Your jaw would be on the floor.
Yeah.
Where did you get that?
Give that to me. Okay, the next one is from Alex. Dear Joel and David, hope you're both keeping well. I'm a big fan of the podcast and always tune into every new episode. My question I want to ask you both is there an artist you'd love to cover on the podcast that maybe only had a single or two out or were a one album wonder that you've not yet looked into that you'd love to feature? All the best, Alex. We do. Yeah.
David, surely there's top number one answer.
I mean, okay, I'll be honest. I've wanted to do Javine for a bit. And I think we've talked about it at various points of how we slot in Javine, maybe with another artist. So that's like a one album wonder that I really wanted to celebrate. Also, like kind of, I know we haven't talked about this, you and I, Joel, but Natasha Bedingfield's first album kind of, for me, it feels like it needs to be celebrated. Jamelia's Thank You album as well.
Well, look, David, there's the number one answer that you've not mentioned, our girl Ellie Campbell.
Did she have an album?
Yes.
Ah. Also, I found her single in a charity shop nearby. I remember I took that picture. I showed you.
Yeah, I remember. Didn't get it for my 30th birthday, though.
No, saving it for your 31st. It's under the bed. Gotta have something to build up to.
Yeah, Ellie Campbell, Javine has been on our list from the start of this podcast. We both like Javine is a true talent of this nation, and the 411, obviously.
Oh yeah, the 411. Well, yeah, I need to listen to the album properly, but yeah, in theory, yes. So we're gonna do more of these like kind of one album wonder types of moments.
One and done.
one album episodes where it's more concise and we get to just really spread our wings and cover this era properly. So you're going to see more of that coming from us.
Yeah. So Javeen, Ellie Campbell, the 411, who are your one and done albums, guys, or a couple of single artists? Obviously, Sarah Watmore.
You know I talk about Sarah Watmore a lot.
The incredible, legendary Sarah Watmore.
You know I want this. Here for it. Next one is by Harrison. Hey guys, new listener here, but listen to pretty much all your episodes in 2 weeks. Oh my goodness. Fabulous journalism, living my radio message fantasy here. Anyhow, this is a question for you both. What current act do you think would blend in with the Y2K era and why, and thrive? Thanks. Keep it up. Keep it camp.
Keep it camp.
Keep it camp, says Harrison. That we do. Okay, current acts, JB, who do you think is giving us big Y2K pop girl fantasy?
Blackpink are the only ones that are giving us choreo, bops, like in the way that we love.
Yeah.
I also think Dua could be a main pop girl from the 2000s. And also, Jessie Ware could be, you know how like on CD UK, you'd see side of like the slightly more adult artist comes onto CD UK? She could easily fit into that.
Right.
Like when like Dido would pop up on CD UK, but Jessie Ware's a million times, no offense Dido, but she's a million times better than Dido.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. So yeah, all the top girls of today could be in the Y2K. How about you, Davo?
I would love to. There's an artist called Liz and she has a song called Intuition, which I think I've pushed on you before.
You've shared Liz with me. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, she has big Y2K energy. And then that song, Intuition, I think if I read correctly and remember correctly, Kylie herself actually recorded it in the 90s as a demo.
Wow.
Never used it. But that song is like a perfect companion to Mandy Moore's Candy, in my opinion. There is no. So she's a girl that I think would succeed. Kim Petras gets,
of course,
Y2K aesthetics and, you know, Y2K pop girl energy. Definitely her. I think Rina Sawayama would be a very interesting Y2K artist.
She would thrive.
Because she would maybe do more of the Max Martin style productions, but then make it edgier and cooler.
Kim and Rina are thriving now, but they would thrive in the 2000s. Tuning into CD UK, they pop up in skits on SMTV, then they are performing circles around everyone on CD UK. Legendary, wouldn't it?
Love to see it.
It would be absolutely amazing. Everyone we love now, like the people that find out their way into our hearts now, are the ones that would be thriving. Great question. So next up, we have an audio note from Chris at the Instagram account Big Nostalgic Energy, who, if you're not following, you will need to follow now and love, especially our Down Under listeners. Let's hear from Chris.
Hey, it's Chris from Big Nostalgic Energy. I would like to know how you would compare the members from Bardo to the members of the Spice Girls.
Belinda and Victoria, dancers, yes, performers, fashion, the stars, like, you know, absolutely love it. Both, like, we got the English version and the Australian version of J-Lo. That is who they are.
Gorgeous.
Tiffany and Mel B.
Yes.
Like, fearless. That, like, fearless that you just admire and, like, wish you had.
Yes.
You know, strong, dominant, good, like, powerful vocal. Like, ringleader of the group type.
Yeah.
Then we have Katie as Jerry, obviously.
The first to leave.
First to leave, both, you know, redheads. And that kind of, you know, because you saw it on Pop Stars and, like, the press loved her. Like, they loved Jerry, you know, and then obviously the first to leave. And then I would say with Sophie and Sally, it's a bit, not as definitive, but I would say Sophie, Emma and Sally Sporty.
I think Sally is Mel C, yeah. I definitely get that kind of more, not the organiser of the group, but something close to that. Yeah, the sensible one of the group.
sensible. I mean, obviously all amazing performers, brilliant singers. Yeah, I think that's it. And like, love to see it.
Love to see it. Yeah.
Thank you, Chris. Look, everyone, you've got to follow Big Nostalgic Energy for the Bardo collection alone and all the other brilliant throwbacks.
So now we've got one from Oliver. Hi, you guys. This is Oliver, and I sincerely have to thank you for your podcast that has made my last couple of weeks brighter and more fun. Please keep doing what you do. When it comes to my notes and suggestions for Right Back At Ya, may I say that I am very impatiently waiting for the Sugar Babes Part 3 for a discussion of All Saints' music career, including the Appleton Sisters' Everything's Eventual, aka one of the best pop albums of the century so far.
Love it.
And for a Lisa Scott Lee electropop masterpiece, Never or Now, Deep Dive. But also, no stress from my end, thanks to... This is a very kind of...
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. This is the way you talk to us. Yeah, you've nailed it right there, Oliver. Like, very concise and specific and urgent, but also, hey, like, no stress.
No pressure.
Thanks to your charm and charisma, I'll take anything you two decide to record and release. Feel the love from Vienna, Austria. So this is where our Austrian chart position's coming from.
Hello!
Also, I'll have to check back with my pop-obsessed WhatsApp group whether they already listened to Right Back At Ya. But if so, greetings to the fabulous Stupid Lovers. Thank you. There you go.
Hello, Stupid Lovers WhatsApp group. Look, to be honest, guys, if you're loving what we do, the biggest thing that you could do on top of the five-star review and sharing it is getting it on your groups, getting it on Pop Chops, getting it on your WhatsApp groups. If there's any avid Reddit users, like, that is the way to spread us. So we'd really appreciate it. That is, it's the most genuine way of accessing.
I was just
people.
Laughing at spread us.
We're just like the peanut butter of podcasts. Spread us.
I'm loving this. We're getting a lot of All Saints.
All Saints are on the cards. So yeah. Oliver, I'm going to tell you, watch my web series, Obsessed Fans.
Everything's Eventual. I have that on CD, that album. I bought it in Malaysia while I was on holidays. So yeah, I do enjoy it.
The way we have to do our episodes is we try and, like, we've got to spread it out. Like, so we can't wait to do Sugar Babes Part 3, but we're also like, the thing is, once we've done it and we can't talk about the babedom anymore. So that's why we haven't done it straight away.
Sorry for the blue balls, but you know, you get your relief soon. Your sweet seven relief.
Exactly. And we've got to, like, we want to talk about it, but we also don't want to just get rid of it. So that is why we haven't done
it yet. We're savouring it.
We're savouring it, and we can't wait, and we're going to enjoy it so much. LSL, stranger things have happened. We absolutely could get into that.
No, we have to. Yeah, yeah.
All Saints, look, it is appearing that, David, we have to do All Saints. So now we have a message from Daniel, and Daniel's written to the Smash Hits Poll Winners nominees for Best Pop Podcast and to the winners of the Rachel Stevens Vanguard Award for Contributions to Pop Right Back At Ya Podcast. Well, Daniel will take it.
Let's just pause there.
I'm going to stop there. Thank you so much, Daniel. Need to frame that, put that on my bathroom, put it anywhere. After that very esteemed intro that we could only dream of, Daniel has written, just wanted to say thank you for absolutely everything. Your spirit, friendship and banter is everything I wish I had as a young teen in the late 90s. These pop girlies and hot guys shaped so much of my youth. And as a gay country kid, I often had to hide my love of pop music. Each episode, my inner 12-year-old is living that there are others that are just like me, and that's a special gift.
Aww.
And they've wrapped it up with, can't wait to hear the debut albums JB1 and DL1, the New Zealand chart debuts, and the Jessica Simpson episode. With love, your Australian street team. Daniel, thank you so much. David, we have to put JB1 and DL1 on our Spotify playlists.
It's constantly changing. I just can't decide on the direction. We should decide on the years first, which era. Yeah, because my A&Ring is all over the shop at the moment.
Well, JB1's 2002.
Oh, okay. You're debuting that early, are you?
Yeah,
okay.
JB2 is 2004 because I go Rocky. And then I quickly go dancey with 2006 with like a come and get it kind of thing.
Gotcha. JB3. Gotcha. We get the career arch now. And then Dancing with the Stars. Yeah.
And then Dancing with the Stars, because after three tanked albums, Mushroom Records are not having it anymore.
Festival Mushroom Records has said, get the fuck out.
We got you on Dance with the Stars and then you need to leave. We'll do a rushed out greatest hits and then get yourself out of here. You know what I mean? We actually recently peaked at number 14 in New Zealand, I believe it was. Hello, New Zealand. And look, David, you've got proof in the pudding there. The Jessica Simpson episode needs to happen.
Oh my God.
Guys, okay. It's not going to be one episode. Let me tell you that for sure now.
Yeah.
It is going to be more than one.
It's going to be something. This one is Thank You Baby from Sweden with love from Tom at eLondonLad to David and Joel. So for me, it starts December 2019. I had been sent to work in Stockholm, Sweden for my company at the beginning of September 2019 and was coming home to the UK for Christmas. To prep for my journey, I decided to search for some podcast to keep me company on the flight home, and this is when I found the Right Back At Your Boys. I listened to all 20 of the episodes they had done up till that point, and from then on, I have eagerly anticipated and listened to each episode David and Joel have done since. What I love about the podcast is not only the subject matter, I'm a fellow pop boy at heart, but the sheer enthusiasm, joy, positivity, facts, opinions, and personal stories that David and Joel bring to each episode. Through the podcast, I've made some new discoveries and gained some renewed love for forgotten treasures along the way. For a more personal note, nearly all of the music that has featured on Right Back At You has been the soundtrack of my school teen years. And the memories that have been evoked throughout listening to the podcast have made me go back to many of these artists' back catalogue to listen once again. As I mentioned before, I've been working in Stockholm since 2019. My original plan was that I'll be able to fly home every few months for a weekend, but obviously Ms. Corona had other ideas to keep me in Sweden. I know I sent you guys a message on Instagram a while ago. In fact, as you both know, I send you many messages and replies on Instagram. But the sentiment from that message is still valid today, that listening to podcasts has genuinely been so helpful for me throughout my time in Sweden. Listening to it has made me feel a little bit closer to home, as the music and artists you cover makes me think of that teenage boy listening to pop music in this room and the joy it has filled me with then and still does now. Thank you, baby. Kiss, kiss. Thank you, Tom.
Tom at eLondonLad. Thank you, baby. Thank you so much, Tom. Look, we message you all the time on Instagram. It's wonderful. Can't wait for that night out. Look forward to it. But lovely to hear from you, and thank you so much for that wonderful message. Next up, we have a question from Emma. So let's hear it.
Hi, Joel and David. I'm a massive fan of the podcast. And my question is, which of our noughties fave groups or artists would you most like to release a new album? And also, I've got a cheeky second question, if I may, which is, what would your pop idol audition song be? Mine has got to be What Dreams Are Made Of by Hilary Duff / Lizzie McGuire, obviously. And I would sing both parts. Thank you. Love ya.
Oh my God, Emma.
Emma is a good friend of mine. Thank you so much, Emma, for sending in that perfect question.
Emma, another fellow Hilary Duff fan. There you go.
Let's answer the easy question. Obviously, Rachel Stevens. Rachel needs to take the Louise comeback and copy and paste it with Come and Get It Part 2.
Rightio. Full stop. Yep. I would love to see the Pussycat Dolls come back with new material properly.
Yeah. Full yep. on Pop as a Clock Bop album. Like yep. Buttons 2021.
Yeah. Give us
Sexy,
that.
Sexy. Dancer.
Definitely.
Hush Hush.
Yeah.
2021.
Yeah. And in terms of Pop Idol auditions, Joel,
that
do you have
tough
one?
Question.
That is
maybe,
tough.
Maybe. That is a brilliant question as well, Emma. You got us there. I would say possibly, only because I texted you the other day and I was like, I think this is my new karaoke song.
Yeah.
Kylie Spinning Around.
Oh, okay. Right, right, right. Yeah.
We'll let you know that I'm the Sarah Watmore of this series.
Clear sonic direction there. For me, I think I would go for a classic. I would go for a Carpenter's ballad.
Oh.
Probably Yesterday Once More. When I was young, I'd listen to the radio, waiting for my favorite song. It's a yes from Pete Waterman.
If I had the vocal chops and I could be really serious and really, really go for it and bring a tear to the eye, I would follow what you've said and do Rainy Days and Mondays by the Carpenters.
Gorgeous.
And like have like Nicky Chapman would like be tearing up. So yeah, I'll go with those. That's a bit of light and shade, spinning around on Rainy Days and Mondays. Because they'll be like, we want to see more from you, Joel. Like, we know you like, we know you can put on a show, but we need a bit more emotion. I'm like, thank you, Nikki. Let me get the tissues.
Let me
out.
Give you something to really cry about.
amazing question. Thank you so much, Emma. Oh, and now we have our interview questions.
Oh, this is the Smash Hits magazine interview. This one's from Justin. Hey there, David and Joel. I've been a massive fan of your podcast ever since I discovered it one day while scrolling on Instagram. After I found out you guys had a podcast, I immediately had to check it out, and it was one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life. I've listened to every single episode you guys put out, and it was nothing but poptastic fun, featuring nothing but legendary quotes, Joel's A-plus accents, and the discussion of iconic pop artists from the Y2K era. You guys have such great chemistry, and I'm really here for it. I recently listened to the 18s episode, and I was not disappointed. That was me going into recording. I was like, oh, well, I like 18s. I was not disappointed. Before I end off this email, I have a couple of questions to ask you both. Number one, how did you guys meet?
Grindr.
No, it was not Grindr. So some of you might already know this, but Joel and I used to live together. So we were flatmates.
We lived together. Yes, flatmates.
Funny thing was, we didn't actually, out of all the, you know, when they were auditioning you to be the new flatmate.
When I came in during my Rainy Days and Mondays.
I wasn't part of that. I wasn't there for the audition. I was busy with some work thing.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, there's this other guy I've not met, but we'll just go for it.
We'll just go with the flow. And then, yeah, we end up being such good mates. So, yeah.
And like I've said before, it was like a slow burn. You know, I had to claw my way in. So it's fate, isn't it? But yes, yeah. We were flatmates together. We were doing this long before it was ever a podcast.
Yeah. And our other two flatmates from this lineup, which, you know, we're seeing it as Sugar Babes in different incarnations in that flat.
Yeah.
But this Sugar Babes lineup of our flat, they're all pop lovers, James and Bjorn.
Also pop music legends in their own right, both of them. All right. Out of all your episodes you have currently recorded, which one is your all-time favourite and why? And is there one you would redo? Okay, we'll answer it in one. Mystique is an episode we did redo because it was meant to be our third episode or something. David didn't like it and hit delete. We then did it much later. A, I scolded David and said never delete anything, even if we don't release it. But B, the later one that you guys did hear was one of my absolute favourites. Like, it was so much fun doing Mystique.
Also, I'll just confess, I got very drunk during, I think, the Saturday's part two recording, the second half of it. So I actually did re-record my bits at a later stage because
Even I don't know that.
I think that's the magic of editing now. You're not going to know which was part of the original session and which was my retaked lines.
Because I said to you, well, David, no, with the edit, you didn't sound drunk at all. Great work. Here we go. It's all coming out now.
No, but that's the only time I've done that. Everything else has been in the moment with the JB.
So yeah, all-time favourites.
I obviously love all the Spice Girls related episodes that we've done, but also the one I regularly go back to listen to every now and then is Cleopatra and Precious episodes. And the Saturdays.
It's like trying to pick your children in a way, but the Saturdays and Cleopatra and Precious, that's like us in our element, I would say. And we had so much fun. I loved our UK soap puns. I loved the Australian yes. soap puns. What I loved as well is like when we had our new discoveries for me. So when we did Popstars Australia yeah, and you I introduced me to Bardo and Scandalous, it's like I now have two newer favorite pop acts of that time.
I think it's the joy with that as well as us watching Popstars Australia together and getting that, just the reality show hijinks along inside that episode. I think that really brought it to a special place. That stylist, that Scandalous stylist is iconic.
Like, we see ourselves as wanting to be, you know, beautiful and glamorous and looking gorgeous, like Britney Spears. Do you know what I mean? Like someone like Jennifer Lopez or Britney Spears.
See, you've also got to be realistic.
You know, that's the only point.
No, you've got to be realistic about who you are and what you look like, you know? And you're beautiful all in your own way, but you're not Britney Spears. Or the only point of reference I've had so far has been Britney Spears or Destiny's Child, who, to be honest, that's not what I do. If this is not what you think is right for you, then maybe I'm the wrong stylist for you.
Oh, you got to be realistic. Absolutely. She is a legend. And then the fact that Belinda and Katie then got to be our first ever guests, dream guests. So that experience as a whole really cemented it in. And 20 years of Forever for me was so much fun.
Is there any episodes that were planned to be released but never did? Well, do you know what? We did actually record a Paris Hilton episode. This was before I moved out of the last flat. Yeah. I think you'd already moved out, but you made a trip over. So, but we've got plans with Paris. We're going to redo it and we're going to repackage it.
Yeah, because basically by the time it would get to that coming out, we like to think our production values had really increased.
Yeah, so that's really, I think that's the only episode that's sort of in the vault that will probably not come out, but we'll redo it.
Do you plan on covering any other pop stars act in the future?
Well, we got to do the UK pop stars.
Guys, look, Pop Stars The Rivals is going to happen.
But also global pop stars, I think. You know, we've had messages before about like the German pop stars or whatever. We can look into doing something. Pop stars around the world.
Possibly a Pop Stars Around the World. Not yes, not no, but definitely Pop Stars The Rivals.
Because we've already done Eden's Crush in a way when we did Pussycat Dolls. We touched on that. So that's that.
Yeah, Goose and the Gander.
Any plans of covering pop stars from Canada and Asia? Oh my God. Speaking of Asia.
Asia, yes.
There is one pop star I really think. Well, Joel's actually greenlit the episode and I'm just more like, is it too niche?
There's an Asian pop star that David's introduced me to and I've said several times, when are we doing that episode? And then there are some K-pop acts that we're both pushing to do at some point.
I think we could maybe branch into K-pop soon. But yeah, I'd love to do an episode on Thailand's pop princess Tata Young. I know I've said to you, I felt like it's a little too niche, so we'll find the right spot to record that.
I'm more keen. I've been more pot, like more pushing it than David, so if we got any Tata,
even though she's my
there,
fave, but
she's
yeah.
David's fave, like I don't know her in depthly, but I'm like ready and waiting because I am a sexy naughty bitch. Can't change the way I am, sexy naughty bitch, you may sexy naughty bitchy. Sexy, naughty, bitchy, that is me, the JB. Do you have any interviews planned in the future? Planned, no. Pushing for, yes.
Yes.
So your pop faves, like we always say, your pop faves, let them know. What we're very lucky is that all the ones that have happened have been very natural. We've been more approached and absolutely loved it and been honoured. So nothing planned, some we are pushing for and some that have been in the talks for a while that we're really pushing for. And if so, who would be your dream act to interview? Well, look, it's no secret that my top two, Jenny Frost and Rachel Stevens, top two. If we were like in no man's land, dream world, Victoria Beckham, Billie Piper.
Wow.
What about you, David?
I would definitely have to say Jenny as well, purely because she's such a reference character on Right Back At You, as you guys keep saying back to us, thank you, baby. And also just for the Precious stories, we know kind of about Atomic Kitten's story, but I want to hear from her about Precious years. So yeah, I really want that. Yeah. And I think, look, if we get Lisa Scott Lee, I think Lisa Scott Lee would be fun because I want to talk to her about the solo album, but really celebrate it, you know, not like take a mick out of her.
Well, that's not what we do at Right Back At You. We have fun taking it seriously. That is what we do. Yeah, Lisa and Faye from Steps are like dream guests for me. All of Atomic Kitten. Yeah, Samantha Mumba, obviously, legend. You guys know who we're pushing for and would love for it to happen. But in the meantime, we're here doing what we do. And then they've just said, keep up the good work, guys. And I can't wait to listen to the next episode. Sincerely yours, JS. Jessica Simpson, is that you? One of our lovely listeners, Jared, has sent in a message. Hi, David and Joel. Love the podcast, Ovs. If you were holding your ultimate dream Y2K festival, who would be your five main acts and what would the festival be called? And Gerard's would be Spice Girls, Aqua, Gwen Stefani, NSYNC and All Saints. And he would call it Heaven on Bloody Earth. And he said he loves us, which is lovely. This is a brilliant idea and a brilliant question. We have spoken about this before on the podcast.
Well, we said on our 18th episode that we'd love to do a Right Back At You festival. So, you know, pure noughties pop, Jenny Frost as the CEO.
Yeah.
But I think it would have to be the landmark Y2K artist for us. We want to see the Mystique reunion. We want to see Atomic Kitten. We want to see Liberty X on that lineup. You know, these are the kind of acts that we want to see. Jamelia, Javine, Sarah Watmore.
Yeah, so look, let's both pick five acts each. I think it would have to be called Right Back At You, the Noughties Festival, or
yeah.
It has to be called that.
Okay, so let's do it as you do the Saturday and I'll do the Sunday slot.
Okay, so speaking of which, Girls Aloud on the Saturdays, Atomic Kitten with Jenny.
I can't believe I let you go first, because now you're going to book all my acts.
S Club 7, including Rachel Stevens doing a solo set. And then last but no means least, we got the fifth one, but it's a double slot. Billy Piper and Samantha Mumba.
Wow. I think for me, just to one-up Joel, I would have Sugar Babes headlining.
Which lineup?
Sunday. Any lineup is welcome, but I, you know, my preference is 2.0. So Mutia, Keisha, Heidi. We will have the Pussycat Dolls.
Oh.
We will have Danny Minogue. I want the Mardi Gras set, Danny Minogue.
This is Gay Sunday. Like, if it wasn't gay enough, this is Gay Sunday.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And also at this festival, Steps are going to do a surprise appearance. We just don't know when, but they will be there.
I'd love J-Lo on there.
Oh my God.
Jennifer Lynn Lopez on there. And do you know what? Why not? Let's just throw it in there. We want to see, Ciara. Ciara's a great live performer, I reckon. Just throw in Ciara.
She is.
She's got some bangers.
Oh my God, that weekend festival would be fire. And then we'll have Gerard's Day on the Friday. That is an amazing 3-day festival. So we've got a few more rapid questions and comments on Instagram. Dylan has said, as a Canadian listener obsessed with 2000s UK music, I love this. The impressions are fab. Honeys? Question mark. Anything is possible. Aiden has said, thanks to you, 3LW's I Do has become one of my favourite R&B songs. I also want to say, shout out to Aiden, because they are literally one of the first people to come on board and really love our podcast. So thank you so much, Aiden.
Love it.
Emmy has said, how do you guys research your notes? I find it so interesting, and thank you, baby. So look, we will pick an episode. Sometimes we'll designate who's going to cover what, but normally we'll both just deep dive into it and fill our notes. Sometimes we'll share kind of like a Google Doc that we can both see, or sometimes we'll both do our individual notes and then we'll discuss the through line and the way we're going to talk about it. We both basically just go away, we deep dive. Wikipedia and YouTube are our friends. And we basically spend 1 to 2 weeks dedicating nothing but the thought of that act to our minds.
Pretty thorough.
And then good friend of the podcast, Joe Daddick, has asked, what's your favourite Bardo remix? Now, Joe, this isn't a remix, but I think we're both on the same page here, David, when we say what happened with Empty Room from the show Pop Stars Australia to it then being released on the B-side of Poison is pure magic. It went from a really like kind of jarring novelty sounding song on the show to like this beautiful Ibiza trancey remixy sounding song that is now a real fan favourite between us and the Bardo stan community. Do you agree with me, David?
Yes, 100%.
Now it's an empty room.
Without you, it's an empty room to come home to. So we have to give a shout out to our absolute Aussie pop girl group faves, Bardot. You can now get their first, you can get their first album, their second album, and greatest hits all on vinyl via Goat Nation. And David, we desperately need those, don't we?
Desperate. Can't afford the shipping.
God damn it. David, the coronavirus needs to end so you can get yourself to Australia, as our girls would say, ASAP. So, David, this has been the end of our first ever mailbag episode. I want to thank everyone that's written in. Thank you, everyone that's listening. I want to thank you, David, because this podcast is such pure joy for me, and I absolutely love doing it. We've just finished 40 episodes. Who are you looking forward to covering in the next 40 episodes?
I'm looking forward to diving into Kylie's 2000s albums, as we did with Light Years, and just taking it episode by episode for each era.
I'm looking forward to any other Aussie introductions you have for me that I can't wait to deep dive into. And look, guys, you've said it on this episode, I am looking forward to doing Steps. I can't wait. It's been a long time coming. And it turns out me and David need to have some questions offline and talk about covering All Saints. We're both here for it, so it has to happen. You have been listening to Right Back At You, the 2000s pop music podcast. We've been going for 3 years, and this has been our 40th anniversary special. Our 40th episode anniversary special. You can follow us on all social platforms at Right Back Pod, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. You can follow me at Dr_Joel B, and you can follow him at
Lovely Me.
I just realised I never answered that person's question when they were like, are you a doctor?
We'll never know.
Until next time, bye.